cuidar el planeta. Recuerdo una frase que escuché de un anciano hace muchos años. Dios siempre perdona las ofensas, los maltratos. Dios siempre perdona. Los hombres perdonamos a veces. La tierra no perdona nunca. Sí.
Shwini, Dumela, Morweni, Hoyamora, and good morning. I'm Bernie Crew Brown, and yes, it's Tuesday. It is the 16th of September, 2025, the season of creation 2025, with the theme Peace with Creation. And you're listening to Laudato Si, our journey on caring for our common home. And indeed, caring for our common home is our focus, and bringing peace to creation so that we can have peace and harmony with creation is our outcome. And the last 2 weeks of the season of creation, we have looked at the meanings of peace and harmony, relating it to Laudato Si, and lightly looking at the issues of today. However, today I would like to go a little bit deeper in the problems around, because sadly, peace is far from creation right now. So to begin, let us pray the prayer for the season of creation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Peace with creation, Creator of all, we praise you for the gift of life and for the faith that unites us in care for our common home. We confess how estranged we have become from one another and from creation, and from our truest selves. We acknowledge that our greed and destructive impulses have fractured our relationships with you, with others, and with the earth. Fertile fields have become barren. Forests lie desolate. Oceans and rivers are polluted. Thriving communities have become places of suffering. And the earth and her people cry out. And we ask this prayer, we pray this prayer to you, our Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, the one who came to proclaim the good news to all of creation, Jesus Christ. Amen. And we go on looking at this season of creation theme, just to bear it in mind from the way the initiators, which you know is an ecumenical group of people representing leaders, a group of leaders, of church leaders, of people of goodwill that have got together and devised a season to meet the issues of the world today. So the 2025 symbol is inspired by Isaiah 32:14-18, titled Garden of Feasts. It depicts a white dove flying over a tree. The left side of the tree is barren, with roots digging into dry soil, surrounded by arid, desolate landscape. In contrast, on the right of the tree is a lush and green standing amidst a flourishing landscape. The dove, carrying an olive branch in its beak, flies towards the right, symbolizing peace as a transition from a war-torn, overexploited land to one that is fertile, thriving, and hospitable. Let us remember that humanity was originally called to tend a garden. Through this year's season of creation, we reflect on the connection between caring for creation and fostering peace. The white dove with an olive branch is a globally recognized symbol of peace. In the story of Noah, it also signifies new life after destruction. The logo is meant not to diminish the unique value of desert ecosystems and their creatures, which is also part of God's creation. Furthermore, the desert holds a significant role in the Bible, and the symbol of peace with creation is on my brochure for this week today, for every one of my Led Out to Sea season of creation programs. So when we look at today, I think of my own footsteps, my journey, as you always know I do. And I had an incredible start to the week. It was Monday morning. I had recovered from this very bad neck problem, head problem that I've had, a pain, nerve pain. And I woke at 6 a.m. to see the moon setting over the sea, and went down to the beach for my morning swim and stepped into the beautiful, clean and cool water at 7:30. And I enjoyed the strong playfulness of the ocean, diving and ducking under and out of the power of the waves. It was invigorating because you're nervous, but once you're through it, and remember I wear goggles, so when I go under the water I can see, and the sea is so clean and beautiful. So it's invigorating to see that beauty. And then I see shells and kelp on the sea floor. And then I return above the surface and I feel the morning wind and the morning sunrise on my skin, as it was on Monday, a warm spring morning. And along with my community, we were all invigorated and we all acknowledged the wonder of creation in those moments. So that's how it started. And during the day, business as usual, ending with a webinar, being a season of creation, a Led Out to Sea movement webinar, a dialogue with the most incredible guests, Rabbi Jenny Rosen, Father Dr. Yostrom Kiritadem, and Dr. Abraham Ozdemies, who's Arabic, and Jenny Rosen, obviously Jewish, and our Catholic faith. So three leading faiths and leaders from the faiths shared wisdom, answered questions, and shared resources with us, the participants, which was absolutely wonderful, but gave incredible motivation and insight into what we need to do to bring peace with creation, the path that we need to take, and the areas where so much work still needs to be done, spiritually, individually, and in an advocacy setting. My sincerest thanks to the Dr. C Movement and Ashley Kutizwe for bringing us that moment. And to take us to expand on this overwhelming moments in time, let us listen to Paul Williams' version of Creation Will Be at Peace, Jubilate music. Paths that we have taken have brought us to crossroads to discern which of the many pathways we need to choose on our ecological conversion journey.
And this journey is calling us to a new way of being.
Being aware and hearing and then receiving the call of the Holy Spirit. Being open, emptying ourselves to receive the Holy Spirit. To be able to have this new way of being and to, as we discern the path, to choose the one that might not be the easiest, but is the correct path for us to eventually have that harmony, which, as we know, is more than just peace with creation. So at this crossroads, let us look, step back, actually, as we stand still. Let's step backwards and look at the world. Look at what's going on with Gaza and Israel. When I recorded the program, it was just after the two retaliations. Hamas, and I say Hamas, not Palestine, on the Israelis in Jerusalem, and then the retaliation of Israel on Hamas trying to take out the individual leaders and instead take out six other people, I think the son of one of the leaders, only the closest to their target, but the destruction in the country of Qatar, which has never seen warfare of this magnitude. Then the Ukraine-Russia war continuing. And then Nepal, where you see the youths, which is what happened last week when I recorded this program. And now there's control in place. But where the youths destroyed so much destruction and violence from the youth. But we have to agree that it's important that the youth's voice is heard and that there is an outcome of justice and moral rights for all in Nepal, as it used to be. It used to be the center of peace in the world, the Buddhist peaceful city, Kathmandu. And then we go to the civil war in Syria. I'd love to go into more detail. Yemeni, Myanmar, Afghanistan, Haiti, and then in our Africa, Somalia and Sudan. And then our local warfare. Yes, we have war in South Africa. A lot of people talk about the crime, and we know that throughout our country, crime is getting worse, and the problem is crime is getting worse because of the inability to stop corruption. And as corruption grows, as we know it is, so is crime increasing. And with that crime comes our local warfare, which is gangsterism. And the taxis are growing in the gangster kind of manner more and more, which is incredibly sad, where a community-based business of mobility could benefit the whole, every person in South Africa is instead now brought down to the level of killing people and creating fear for passengers. As we know also, there has been incidences of gender violence as well. And then, not just that, taxi gangster warfare, taxi warfare, let's call that one, the Cape Flats and the gangsterism. Since my start of work in South Africa, fundraising to improve conditions for the poor, gangsterism is one of the first words that I used in all applications for funding, one of the hugest problems in South Africa.
and the gangsterism in South Africa on the Cape Flats, where the children and the communities hear gunfire in the peaceful homes, supposedly places of peace, which should be your home. And the women and children, the innocent, hear gunfire. And where we know in the last 2 weeks we have had fatalities, one specific being two people killed on an open field, probably where children play. So this is a social issue in our climate justice views today. And we know that whatever happens socially is linked ecologically. The social and the ecological is hand in hand. And therefore, all these places are affected. The natural environment is affected as much as the social environment. To degrees that will never bring peace and harmony until change occurs. And on that note, we turn to one of the speakers of the one in the wonderful webinars. Creation feels the loss of our sonship. So we're talking here just about the war, but when we look at the development, human development in the world, hand in hand with warfare, is creating a loss of our sonship. Through our actions, we are separating creation from God. Creation is waiting for us now. It's groaning. And this loss of sonship, which we are responsible for, is revealed in the throwaway cultures, in the devastation, in the even extreme weather events, because it's all related to human interventions, anthropocentric behavior, anthropocentrism. The global warming causes extreme weather, and global warming is exacerbated because of fossil fuel emissions into the atmosphere. And we know from agriculture, cows, from carbon monoxide, motor cars, from fires in your homes, in our homes, the type of fuel we use to warm ourselves, and then the type of fuel used to create, to manufacture energy, to run our homes, to run our businesses, to run life for humanity on Earth. All increases fossil fuel emissions, which is global warming, which is causing all the issues of the climate crisis. Once humanity discovers who we are, that we are these culprits, once we just realize, then perhaps humanity's role of responsibility will come to the fore. And working towards that truth will free creation, which at the moment, as you've just heard, creation is captured, is imprisoned by humanity. And working with that truth, we will free creation from this bondage. And the process, the transitions that need to awaken in our hearts through opening ourselves to the call of the Holy Spirit to strengthen and give us the ability to have moral visions, moral perspectives, moral and ethical approaches in our decision making, in our growth, in our human growth, our development.
I wish to stay a bit more with the damage to creation, waste, consumption, production causing excessive production causes excessive consumption causes excessive waste, and the greed and apathy is to grow the consumption and the production and to turn your back on the waste, to just dump in areas. Right now, a truck has just gone past me. It's a sanitation truck. Here where we live, where humanity wants to live by the sea, yes, including myself. Our human waste is collected in trucks and taken to a reservoir, which is near the sea, near a river mouth, the Palmette River mouth, to be truthful. And yes, I am absolutely convinced that the human waste eventually ends up in the ocean. As we know, around Cape Town, there are visuals of that pollution in this ocean that are being addressed, but not at the level required for revert the climate crisis, to revert the damage, the ocean acidification, to revert the ocean warming. Not enough. And to revert the killing off of species, which is ruining many ecosystems and making all biodiversity in the ocean unhealthy. So that's waste, never mind what comes down rivers, which is what I still want to speak about today. And I think we've got it all. We've spoken about education, and then all of this, everything in the world is ruled by economy, ruled by the way funding, the way we spend money, the way we make money, the way we use money. Another social issue that is affecting the earth in many areas is the North-South misunderstanding, the North-South debt. The North still wanting to lend money to the South to help the South become like the North, to become westernized, to become a first world, instead of to the North to look and understand and see what the South, what the poor countries or the less developed countries can give, the good indigenous ways that are far more sustainable than the industrial production and consumption of first world countries. I'm trying to bring to the table right now in this part of this program all the reasons that we need to take on this new journey. And I'm saying that because some of us have, but most of us haven't, changed our spiritual way of life to include our awareness that it is our duty, our responsibility to care for our common home, to care for creation, as well as all these social and global issues. And so I'm now going to talk about the biota and abiota, so the fauna and the flora issues. And I'm going to start with the fauna. The place I live in, as you know, there is a lot of wildlife around me. Last week, 2 weeks ago, I buried two birds that were dead on the beach. And I was asked by Sandkop, who are the penguin carers, I was asked to bury them because of avian flu. Granted, we've gone through this eclipse, the very big full moon that's just happened, which has caused huge seas. And with that, we have many dead seals. And I'm sad to tell you, apparently around our country, many dead whales. And the whales are certainly not from the tide of the sea. There's speculation, and I'm saying it as speculation, that these are being the whales are being collided into by boats and ships. Off our coastline, off the South African coastlines. And then we look at the elephants and the baboons and the human-elephant conflict, where 120 baboons are going to be euthanized so that humanity can live in peace and harmony. And the same is happening with elephants. So with the new dispensation, the Kruger fences were taken down. And what happened? The elephants were allowed to roam. And now the elephants are the danger to people, to humanity, yes, to the poor, and to farmers. And so the strategy is euthanize the elephants. And as we know, my last trip to the Kruger Park, I did not see a rhino. Friends of mine, French people that live here in Pringle Bay, did a trip around Africa and had to go to a special reserve, a caged-in area, a zoo, to see rhino. And we can go through the animals here in my area again, where we do have buck and mongoose and tortoises, and regularly the buck are killed. In fact, since I've lived in this house, there used to be two Graysbok or reebok, I'm not actually sure which one, spronking and playing on the mountain behind our home. And now there's only one. We don't see the other. At the moment, yes, today, at the Wildlife Centre, a baby klipspringer has been taken in as an orphan in the springtime. And the saddest fauna story I have to tell is what happened last week, Monday, so 7-8 days ago from this show. And a horse, a mare in foal, a wild horse of the Roy Sands Nature Reserve, where we have wild horses, was killed on the R44 by a motor vehicle who rode off. A wild horse in foal. So, I think on that note, we need to also turn to the plants and how many areas are being uprooted and plant life pulled out for urbanization. As you can see it, tar roads. I think I have told you that I've won a battle in my home. That's a good story. I'm not trying not to give good stories at the moment, but I will end on this one. Where ericas, and ericas are the endangered species of the plant life in the Western Cape here. And this home, now that I'm here for more than a year, ericas are starting to pop up
in the sandy soil. And in the area where my husband has claimed to be a car park, a place for a car to park, sandy, I refuse to allow them to put any cement down, fortunately. Because in that place, tiny little growth has come through. And we've discovered it's ericas. At the moment, I have at least 10 new erica plants that have grown through this area that has been designated for motor cars. And they are endangered species only to be found in the Western Cape. Let us listen to Daily Maverick's version. They produced this beautiful song called On the Eve of Destruction, sung by Aneli Kampfer. And just to note that when the original Eve of Destruction was released, it was banned. And we ask the question, why?
The burning world, it is exploding. Violence flaring, fear and loathing. You're bad enough to scream, but your throat is choking. You don't believe in oil, but it's your car that's smoking. And even the Jordan River has no water floating but you. Tell me over and over and over again, my friend, are you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction? Don't you understand what I'm trying to say? And can you feel the fears I'm feeling today? When the threshold is crossed, it's the end of the game. There'll be nothing to save when the world is aflame. Take a look around you, girl. It's bound to scare your boy. And then tell me over and over and over again, my friend, I don't believe we're on the eve of destruction.
The eve of destruction. We are actually on the eve of destruction. But season of creation, the Laudato Si, Laudato Deum, actually all the encyclicals of Pope Francis's on the human and divine love of the heart of Jesus Christ, Alexit Nos, Fratelli Tutti, and all the rest, everything that Pope Francis lived for in his life, but essentially in his, was it 12 years of being our shepherd? And then we look now to Pope Leo and his continuance, and that we know that Pope Francis's Laudato Si and Laudato Deum was bringing the voice of all the popes before him to us in those documents. Yes, they did. He did. And we have so many organizations, so many, that have grown exponentially in the number of organizations and in their work to save the world, to prevent destruction, to take us over this precipice. Take us that this regime shift does not occur. There's so much, and that gives me hope. It gives me great hope that we will have peace with creation, and not only peace, peace and harmony with creation. And what we need to do is to understand our role, as we said, our importance. And what I would like to bring to you now is what is happening. The wonderful work that humanity is responsible for, and the wonderful experiences of creation that I have come across, I have personally experienced, but I have personally seen and discovered through my
research and my way of being, my pathway, the one I've chosen. So I'm going to first start with the G20, that we must be so grateful to, well, the fact that South Africa has the hosting of it this year, but then the way it has been conducted. I'm a little bit disappointed that I haven't been involved in it as much as I would like to have, but circumstances have been that I haven't had my own resources to be part of it. So what has happened is incredible. On all the levels, all the symposiums, all the summits, right up to the ecumenical one that Tony Rowland interviewed Sister Zelna Oosthuizen last week about, and where they discussed food security. I'm not going to go into it, but it's just something happening that is good. Have a look into it. It's the first time we're having the G20 in South Africa. It's happening next month. Do a Google, find out what's happening and how many declarations are going to be put forward to the leaders of the world during that G20 moment that have been created through the whole of Africa and South Africa for the betterment of the earth and all people on earth, with a special focus on those in the coalface, on the grassroots level, the voices that are unheard in South Africa and in Africa. Really, really good to know that we have this action happening. Very positive and coming out of the season of creation. And the one that I'd like us to also address is what Pope Francis is looking at, building and fixing bridges, crossing bridges, holding hands with each other, making bridges with ourselves for the betterment of the planet. My inbox is full every day, full of incredible invitations to get involved from organizations. Here on the ground in Pringle Bay, I also have to even turn down initiatives. They are certain that I'm not. I've taken on looking after the coastline of our area, the coastal rewilding area, which is the Kuchelberg, where birds that are to protect birds. As we know, last year we did look after the oyster catchers, but there's more. There's many more birds. And then coming onto the land, the animals on the land, and then an wonderful experience that we had last week, my husband and I. A Facebook spronking over the mountain behind us. We've got it on video. I will put it on around my pamphlet for this program so that you can share with me the beauty and joy and incredible ability of that creature of God. And as I said, though, there's only the one left. The bird life that we experience here, it's incredible. And I've told you about our local little snake, and we've got more than one. The plant life that is bursting out in the springtime. When you drive around the Western Cape right now, the yellow of the bitto flowers and the one protea plant is so overwhelmingly beautiful. This is in and around Cape Town, where I live now. But go up the western coast now, and as I said, in July it was so beautiful. We are having the most incredible explosion of wildflowers in South Africa today. A blessing from our Creator God that we need to praise and thank and give thanks. And as I said, the sea, we had three whales and one baby whale. And apparently there is a whale that comes to our little bay every year to give birth. And we know this is now the time of the whales. from right around our coastline. And let's pray that all the babies that are born on in our waters survive and thrive into the future, and also are able to produce families, so that we do not ever have to be concerned about the life of whales. And then on the more industrial side of climate justice, we need also to acknowledge, as I said, with the outcomes of the G20, but where energy is concerned and water is concerned, the issues that are being addressed by on an advocacy level. And very important is how an energy transition, a just energy transition, is going to come about. And I'm uplifted and heartened, even though the situation is dire, that we have wonderful people like Mark Zwilling, Brandon Abdener, Alex Lenferner, Gabriel Klassen, Kulwani, I'm sorry, I can't remember your surname, Kulwani, and all on the Climate Justice Coalition. And of course, let me not forget Richard Worthington and Tara van Reinefeld, my dear friend and colleague, which I'm so humble that I can call her so, because she's a great lady, is Francesca de Gasparez, Reverend Rachel. And I'm just mentioning people that I know personally that have given passion, that have passion, that have given their all to justice on a climate level where energy and water and lifestyles are concerned. And again, I could spend every single program on the issues raised, and I should, to be out there working side by side with these people. But I am personally constrained, I really am. But let us now just be aware of all these issues and the work happening. And let us keep praying, and let us be open to the Holy Spirit to discern which role we can take and how many things we can do more than normally now in this season of creation to bring about peace and harmony with creation. How many things can you do? Please don't forget the 20th of September being the World Day, Cleanup Day. And in your own parish, do something. Have a look at the Laudato Si' Action Platform. Become an eco-church. Call yourselves an eco-church, an eco-family. Toni Rowland talks about that all the time. She has a daily reflection to follow on MarFam. If you don't have her details, go to Radio Veritas or come to us or the Laudato Si' movement. There is concise and comprehensive overviews of solutions. They need to be addressed. Our country's nationally determined contribution really needs to be forthright and strong. And this is for a just energy transition, but decisions to be more, to move away from corruption is what we need. And that's what we need to pray for and be voices. Join the voices. Make a loud voice. Make your voice be loud, but louder because it's with your neighbor's voice. And let us be heard so that South Africa and the world can bring peace, or can have peace with creation. So just to help you with your decision for deepening, widening your conversion, I'm reading from the God's Universe written by our Jesuit friend, Anthony Egan, Father Anthony Egan. He ends with conversion, where he refers to St. Paul's Acts of the Apostles. He fell to the ground, and then he heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" So we know this call to conversion is difficult. But now, at this time, such a dramatic conversion to action on behalf of the earth is still rare. Most people, scientists or laity, religious or secular, fall into the first two categories, scientists or laity. And they have always had a sense of nature. Perhaps they had done their ecological bit, from the start, but faced with the mounting crisis, were converted to a deeper, more active engagement. Perhaps I fit into that category. Others had drifted through life, never thinking of it as a problem, until they were confronted by what former US President Al Gore so aptly calls the inconvenient truth. A very few perhaps came to the position of total skepticism, to a dramatic moment like Saul, when they realized they had been terribly wrong. Personally, and Father Anthony talking. Personally, I don't think matters much which type of convert we are, which type of conversion you take. We, in actual conversion and the fruits of that conversion, that really, it's the actual conversion and the fruits of that conversion that really matter. These fruits are what we call the theological and moral virtues, rooted in faith, hope, and love. Theological virtues. We are drawn to moral virtues, justice and courage and moderation, mediated by prudence. Conversion is not simply a personal relationship with God. It is that which puts us in new right relationship with each other, with creation, and with ourselves. It is also worth reflecting that such conversion, like resurrection, is normally a process. It may start subtly with rumors of an empty tomb or indications of in odd weather changes, in conversations with a stranger on the meaning of the kingdom of God, or in reading articles in a newspaper or book. It builds up to personal experiences of love and experiences of loss. A search for Jesus's body, a sense of personal bereavement on hearing of the extinction of a plant or an animal species. Quite often, there is an element of temporary denial, unwillingness to believe accounts of Jesus's resurrection, a demand to see more evidence of climate change. Faced with reality, there is guilt, contrition, and motivation to act. Accepting Jesus' forgiveness, deciding to take action. This action may lead to suffering for one's convictions. It may even lead to militancy. And then his last paragraph. For us today, as we negotiate our Christian faith in historical time, through the lens of science, and I want us to use the lens of science as well, cosmology and evolution, conversion may also emerge as we see God anew. And I have to admit that these webinars with these incredible global leaders from the different churches, the different faiths in the world, has helped me have a new lens, and I hope it has helped you. And if it hasn't and you haven't seen these webinars, please let me know. If the universe is God's body, if everything is in God and God is in everything, everything, whether good or bad, we do to ourselves and our cosmos, we do to God. Father Anthony ends. Our faith conversion, accepting the loving embrace of God, must to be authentic,
convert us to the earth. I thank you for listening. I hope that this program is going to help your ecological conversion journey, as it actually is helping me. And I thank Radio Veritas for the platform. I thank Ntate Vincent for putting it together so professionally and for giving us this podcast. Thank you once again, and God bless.
Las alabanzas, la gloria y el honor y toda bendición.